I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People.
It's automatic, it's automatic, it's automatic.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, a Mr. Robot podcast. We're doing our Mr. Robot Season 2 rewatch. We're on Season 2, Episode... Depends on how you look at it. Technically, it's episode 4, but the first episode was 2 parts, so it's episode 3. But the way they number them, it shows as episode 2. So, choose.
What?
So, the episode numbers always start at 0. So, it's episode 0, part 1, episode 0, part 2, then episode 1, then episode 2.
Yeah, this does say episode 2-2.
Yeah. So
in it dash one.
Yeah.
Which I did look that up. Did you look that up?
It's something to do with computer crashing.
Yeah, let's see.
She talks about it in the episode.
In it one. Yeah. In it one is a mode for administrative tasks. But the thing that keeps poking me is how it makes a computer crash. That's something I read on Reddit. Reddit to me is like my Wikipedia of
Mr. Robot. Like,
well, not just Mr. Robot, but like looking for like fan edits or any kind of computer speak, leet speak. Leet speak is one of my favorite things ever, which. Can't believe I didn't know pin 15 was penis until you told me it was. But when
it's
I told
really Jamie, obvious when you look at it the way it's spelled out on the poster when you for the new Hulu series. Is it Hulu?
Yeah, it's a Hulu original series. Yeah.
It's really obvious when you look at it on the poster. But when you're looking at it like just pin 15. It's like, I don't understand what that means. But then when you see it on the poster, it's like, well, that spells penis.
Yeah, I just don't know why I didn't recognize that when I saw it on Hulu. It was just pin 15. And all I could think about was there was another series called Pin something or another about the president.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It was a comedy about 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was where his kid was in the White House.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania Avenue or something like that. Penn Ave or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And for some reason, that's the only thing I could connect to. And then when you brought up the leet speak, I was, you know, that's all I see now is penis.
Well, that's good to know. So the episode opens with a flashback to pre Mr. Robot.
A pretty important flashback because
it's the origin of everything.
We forgot.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I was tweeting about it. I remember the movie and her. Can you believe they made a mask of this? Like, I remember that. I forgot about the personal conversations. Oh, she's talking about like how she doesn't really remember their father. I was like, holy crap! She is the Leia to his Luke. Like, for the longest time, he saw his dad as this like bad guy who pushed him out a window when it really didn't happen. And like now he's wrestling with the demons of like his father's death. And like, it's a very like, it's like Luke Skywalker in real life. Like Luke is this, well, until we meet him in The Last Jedi, which I still maintain is absolutely what Luke Skywalker would have turned into. But until we meet him then, in the original trilogy, he's this, like, he's the everyman hero. But like in real life, all of that stuff would turn you into this guy. You know, like your dad dying at such a young age, you having to keep his secret about having cancer, like falling out of a window, dealing. I mean, he already had problems, you know. So, yeah, he's Luke and she's Leia because Leia doesn't remember her parents.
Well, it's not just those problems. He brings up other problems that resulted in him getting fired from his other job.
And I think we even talked in our season one rewatch about, like, do we know why he's in therapy? Did they ever tell us that? And, like, I'm watching this episode. I was like, how do I not remember this?
That I thought the same thing. It just slapped me in the face. Like, oh my God, we've seen this. We got our answer. And
we just totally didn't remember it.
But it did go by in a fleeting moment.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. So if you're not paying attention, then, you know, it's pretty quick.
I mean, it's in the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just like most of everybody else, I'm half-assed paying attention in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the episode. Because it usually doesn't matter. It just sets the tone.
Well, it doesn't matter for shows like The Walking Dead and Gotham and Supernatural and Flash.
Supergirl, and Arrow, The Flash.
Once you get to the opening.
Lethal Weapon.
Once you get through that opening setup, you know, you're usually good until, like, you need the midway point to find out what the new development is, and then you got to watch the end to figure out how they solve it. But Mr. Robot, like, everything matters. Everything. Like, it's almost like every line of dialogue. It's like a song, man.
There's even a thing in here in this episode about White Rose and the what are they called?
The Dark Army?
The Dark Army that I just completely forgot about.
Well, if you're talking about Operation Berenstain, we've talked about this.
I know. And when it got brought up, I was like, oh my God, we've already talked about this.
I mean, time travel came up in season one for us. Because the minute Back to the Future 2 gets brought up in the first episode. So we were talking time travel stuff then.
Yeah, I do remember it coming up after this conversation. But I forgot this conversation included... what's your name?
Who?
The FBI agent.
Oh, Dom.
Oh. Am I echoing?
No.
Okay.
No, Dom.
But yeah, Dom.
You are me. I sound just like you.
Thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, the opening flashback is phenomenal. Like, because it gives you that one brief moment where somebody's knocking on the door. And it calls back to the end of season one. You're like, oh God, we're going to find out who's knocking at the door.
Yeah, and then it's just...
It's Darlene, and you're like, wait, what? And then you realize you're in a flashback. So, but is it... I think it's Angela, right, that says that he started getting really, really weird whenever she came back? When Darlene came back?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, this almost proves that. And I'm not, like, blaming Darlene. But
I don't know that you don't have the right to blame her.
No. Because
it's almost like when you're watching it, she knows which buttons to push.
But that's your sibling.
I know.
Of course they know which buttons to push.
But she comes in with an intention with the movie already. She knows that's going to push a button.
I mean, she knows he's troubled. And that, like, But I don't know that she's actually like the puppet master. I think that she's a trigger. You know what I mean? And I hate to say trigger.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
But it's those. So we have a sister who's an addict. And I used to tell her all the time when she was trying to get clean, you have to stop hanging out with these people. You have to. I know you think they're your friends and they think you're their friend and y'all are all friendly, and but they are part of your trigger and you have to stay away from that. So one of the things that triggers him is his sister, like, and not in a she's not trying to manipulate him. It's just that she brings up all this old stuff.
But see, I disagree here in this moment here.
I don't know, because she's like, you're kind of scaring me. I don't think she's intentionally doing anything. I think she's opportunistic, and the minute all of that comes up, she's like, oh God, we could really do this.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Opportunistic.
But that doesn't make her the puppet.
I still think she went into that room, knocking on that door with some kind of motive, looking for that opportunity that would give her the opportunistic opportunity that you're talking about.
I mean, maybe. I think she was really just looking for somebody to feel sorry for her and probably a place to crash and maybe some money.
And then she becomes the head of...
Because what? She's opportunistic, man. You watched that episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine this week.
And it was
why did that dude turn the other dude in?
I told you that.
So he could get his job.
In a text message. That is one of the most... Actually, I said it's one of the best episodes of television ever. But what I really meant was that's one of the most important episodes of television ever.
I mean, it's pretty great. Although, I think there's an unrealistic aspect of... I mean, maybe if you've already got a lot of money, your morals will hold up to $2.5 million. But if you live paycheck to paycheck...
This is where I disagree with you, because I've seen a lot... I watched the ID channel. It's called Investigation Discovery Channel, which is a lot of true life crime. And, well... I will agree with you on some of it that, you know, I've seen a lot of people say that they didn't get enough time. They should have been sentenced to death, this and that and the other. I would have killed them myself if I had the chance. But I've also seen more than I could even imagine of, I'm just glad they got punished. They got 15 years for murder. Yeah,
but... I don't know anybody whose moral code holds up to $2.5 million. Personally, I don't know anybody.
I mean, but you'd be surprised just...
Maybe, but...
It's kind of one of the... I mean, think back to like the 70s. It wouldn't have been that much money, but... You know, would MLK have taken, you know, $1 million... just to shut up? No.
No, but that's a little different.
I understand that, but I'm just trying to compare here.
No, she wasn't like, you know, this wasn't her leading a rally and fighting for
although her dropping out also didn't.
None of that is none of that has to do with Mr. Robot. We're getting way off base here. I don't want to get into all that.
Her leaving the case also didn't ruin the whole case either.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't like ruin everybody's chance at some kind of redemption.
So anyway, back to Mr. Robot. after that opening scene is, let's see. Dom at the F Society thing that she's discovered, and all the other agents are like, yeah, I don't know. We don't really have any evidence here. What makes you think that this was their their place? And her partner, friend, buddy, whatever, who we find out in season 3 is Turncoat, is, I mean, they're planting the seeds of, like, him trying to throw her off the trail right then, you know? Like, he's like, yeah, I don't know. It seems really stupid.
Yeah, that was a nice thing to look back on at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we watched this the first time, we had no idea what he was talking about. No. We didn't know what he was doing.
But that just shows how... So, chess comes up a lot in this episode, and this series is a chess game. Like, you think you're playing along with the series, but you're actually playing against a chess master, and he's so many moves ahead of you that you have to go back and replay the game tape so you can look at it and go, oh, I really should have caught on to that's what you were doing. And... you know, then you get floored in season 3. Not floored, but, you know, you get like, oh, he's one of the bad guys. Or he's working with the bad guys. So, you know, it's just, it's incredible how much stuff gets set up that you don't really realize. And, you know, some of it could be red herrings. But we're not going to know.
That was probably my biggest downfall of watching season 2 originally, was expectation. You brought that up before in a conversation we had, was most people's problem with disappointment is expectation.
I mean, it's the reason most people get upset. It's because they were expecting something that didn't happen.
It's always why people get disappointed.
Yeah.
That's almost the definition.
Yeah. You're disappointed because it wasn't what you were expected. You know.
It's happened with movies that I've told you about and movies that you've told me about.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is a consistent, perfect example of that. I've been, so every morning, just because I like navel gazing, I will pull up on my Facebook feed, the memories stuff, to see what I posted on this day, you know, a year ago.
Oh, yeah,
2 years
I do
ago,
like
3 years
looking
ago.
At that on and, Facebook. That is actually one of the best things about Facebook.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, every day was me posting something about how excited I was for Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, the trailer hit on Jimmy Kimmel, and I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. It's going to be amazing. Ah.
Today, my memory was just showed my daughter, I think it was 8-year-old, no, 7-year-old daughter. When did Guardians come out?
It's been a while. 5 years ago?
2012, 2014.
It wasn't 2012. It ain't been seven years.
2014. So, yeah, that would have made her about 7 at the time when the trailer came out. And, yeah, that's it. It pretty much said she was so excited. And I think my quote was, I asked her, is there anything cooler than a raccoon on a tree with a machine gun? And she said, probably not.
Yeah. And, I mean, and everybody loves that movie, and that's fine. But... when I walked out, it wasn't the movie I thought it was going to be. And so I was disappointed. So, but yeah, so that's, you know, what you were talking about season 2. And everybody's problem with season 2 of Mr. Robot was, in my opinion, or what I think is whether they want to admit it or not, they wanted the story, the continuing story of Elliot. And this is not Elliot's story. We're seeing the story from Elliot's point of view, as skewed and wrong as it is most of the time. But it's not Elliot's story. It's the story of a failed revolution.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. It's definitely, well, I won't say it's not Elliot's story, because,
well, it's Elliot's story inside this revolution, but we're not getting, like, we're getting bits and pieces of his backstory. We're getting bits and pieces of his relationship with his sister. We barely know anything about his mom at all. It's not his story. If it was his story, we would have episodes about those things. Not just these flawed, skewed memories of them, or these bits and pieces that he just offhandedly says. It would be episodes of him discussing at length about his relationship with his father, his abusive mother, his, you know, his relationship with his sister, whatever. But we don't get that. It is the driving force of this show is this revolution and how he started it, and it's failed, and now he, like, what do you do now? But I think we're gonna wind up discovering that it's not the story of a revolution, that it's something far bigger than that. But I could be wrong.
No, when the time travel was brought up again in this episode.
Well, it's not time travel. Well, Price calls White Rose the Time Master. But that's a very offhanded comment. What's brought up is the Berenstain Project or whatever. No, I mean, it could be a clue. Or it could just, I mean, if somebody was always obsessed with time, you might call them something like that. So it could very well be just an offhanded comment. But I don't think Project Berenstain or whatever it was called is not a reference to the Mandela effect. Like, it has to be. What the hell else could it be a reference to?
I mean, I watched it twice, and both times I just...
And that's not time travel. That's, yeah, alternate, like, universes.
That's more like
fringe.
A fringe thing, yes. Which y'all have screamed at me for
and
years.
And you finally finished
silently and publicly. You know, like, I could feel the bad vibes coming at me through Twitter or Apple or whatever. You haven't seen Fringe, but yes, I finished it, and yeah, I gotta say that definitely feels like some Fringe kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, even Elliot talking about, like, in his perfect world or whatever, his vision, like, it feels like an alternate reality, you know?
Do you think that might be what threw a lot of people off? Just, like, I don't want to deal with...
No, because I don't think
it's... ...soap opera, daytime television type, you know, like, is he dead, is he alive, blah, blah, blah.
No, because I think that's what was fascinating for a lot of people about season one.
But it was more... season one to me was more... I'm trying to think of a movie. The Sixth Sense. Okay, because he likes to do twists. Season one was more like The Sixth Sense, where season two was more like Signs.
I think it's more like Unbreakable. It's very slow, very methodical.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff going on.
And maybe it's more like Signs.
I mean, Maybe, yeah. And
Cassandra was very much like, here's the truth. This is what's going on. But you doubt that that's what's going on through the whole movie until you see that one thing.
Yeah. And then it turns out to be something else, you know. And a lot of people have problems with Signs, but I think Signs is a damn good film.
I enjoyed Signs more than Unbreakable. And
well, Unbreakable has that place in my heart because it's a superhero movie.
And Bruce Willis acted. He didn't do anything else but act. That's all he did. He wasn't a badass. He wasn't this redneck character. He wasn't this fun detective or FBI guy. He actually acted in that movie. That's what I enjoyed about that movie.
We keep rambling on about other stuff. Let's see, where was I? I'm going to look at my tweets here. We see, what's her name? Parked talking to that dude, her boyfriend or whatever he is, Stephanie Corneliuson. God, what's her name in the show?
I don't remember.
Anyway, she's parked where Elliot woke up in the car at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I don't know if I noticed that the first time, but I did this time. Because then when the car drives away, it shows the
little lot. The I Love New York thing or whatever. Angela standing outside the building listening to those stupid tapes. I said, I think Angela listening to these tapes may actually be what drives her insane. Because, oh my God, how do you do that? I said, too bad Ray is the bad guy. He's a good therapist. And then Angela talking to Price, or not talking to Price, talking to the lawyer. You know, she's like, there's something, it has something to do with me. There's some reason I'm here. There's some, he's, you know, using me. You know, there's a reason he's trying to get leverage on me. And I'm like, oh, if you only knew. If you only freaking knew. So, but that didn't come out till season 3. You know, and that's finally what breaks her brain.
I gotta see season 3, man. I don't remember one thing about season 3. I remember Bobby Cannavale being a big part.
Yep. And he's great.
Being in like in the middle of nowhere on
They go to that farm. Yeah. And they're all tied up. I mean, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. They're filming season 4 right now. So we're going to have to jump into, we might do a quick, because by the time we get done with this, American Gods will be about halfway through its season, yeah. I think.
Hell, so, it might be over.
We're going to watch a couple of episodes and see what we think. We might do a quick, like catch up with American Gods.
It's only going to be, 8 to 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So, at worst case.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If we take a 3 or 4 week hiatus and do 2 episodes at a time talking about the show, it'll be interesting to compare it to, at this point, it's been 2 years since season 1, so I don't even remember it. But I'm not going to go back and rewatch it. I'll just read it on Wikipedia.
I think I'm pretty good on the key parts of season 1.
Yeah, because nothing happened.
The over-eccentric stuff, it's kind of like what's his name? The Johnny Damon's buddy that directs movies. Batman dude. Tim Burton. Oh. It's kind of like Tim Burton, I've seen most of this already, so.
We might do a little 3 or 4 week hiatus where we talk about American Gods season 2, and then jump back into Mr. Robot and try to get through them that way, in case Legion and Preacher and Mr. Robot all kind of fall right there together, we're not like, oh crap, we never finished season two. So, but by then we'll be close to summer and regular TV will be wrapping up.
Yeah, well, we're sure about Legion.
Legion for sure is the last season.
And Legion. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well,
no, two more seasons. And we don't do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We can talk about it a little bit here and there, but
two more seasons of that. There was something else that's ended. What, iZombie?
Yeah, but I mean, we don't really talk about that. Anyway, back to Mr. Robot. Elliot sessions with Krista, like, real or not, because at this point, you don't really know what's real or not, because when you find out he's in prison, it's like, well, what was real and what wasn't? But well, yeah. I love his sessions with her. They're so good.
Last episode, I asked... I'm hearing myself again. Hold on.
It's probably my headphones turned up too loud.
Sorry. Last episode, I asked if that was the last time we saw Krista. But we do see her again.
And then, of course, Price talking to White Rose. And like I said, calling her the Time Master is just fantastic. We still have not seen, like, we've only, well, no, because we saw White Rose as the politician or whatever he is at the end of season one. So we haven't gone back to that. So it's going to be really... I don't know. It's I can't wait for the final season. But yeah, after that we have Darlene meeting up with her boyfriend. He tells her to go two blocks up and into the looking glass, which is such a good line, because of course there's a bar in New York or a restaurant or a pub or whatever called the Looking Glass. Of course there is. But it's such a good off the hand, like, Alice in Wonderland reference that anybody will pick up on. But it makes sense that, you know, it would be like having a place called the Mad Hatter. Like, yeah, I guarantee you go to a big city, at one point in time there was a bar or a club or something called the Mad Hatter. You know, it's not so obscure that it's not, that it's impossible, you know. So, a bar called the Looking Glass, yeah, of course there is. So, making that Alice in Wonderland reference, you know, makes sense. And just, it cracked me up. I was like, that's good. I like that. And then, that's who brings up Operation Berenstain. And we don't really know what that is. I think it's the project we see at the end of the season, or is it the beginning of season three? The big, particle accelerator. I think that's Project Berenstain.
Yeah, I think we talked about that at the end of this season.
So, the other thing that comes up is Angela decides that the thing that Price is using her for is to get this clause in their deal that still has apparently never finalized or whatever, revoked. In that, the lawyers want a third party to come in and invest in, look at the facilities in Washington Township, and E-Corp will not go for that. They don't want any third party in there. Was the reason they don't want a third party in there? because of Operation Berenstain, because they're trying to open a freaking hole in the universe.
So you're saying it's something like not what's going on in it, but compare it to the Netflix show, Stranger Things.
Oh, Stranger Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's this book. If you like all these crazy theories, there's this book called Black Science that's published by Image Comics. It's fantastic. It is like a...
I got about 3 issues and I've never read it.
Yeah. You should get them. It's an effed up version of Quantum Leap. It's about this guy who figures out that there's alternate dimensions and figures out a way to travel between them. And somebody sabotages the project while his kids are on site. And him and his kids wind up being... And like all these other people wind up being transported into these alternate dimensions. And the thing just jumps at like these random intervals. It counts down. So, and they can't fix it. So anytime anything happens, they have to be back at this machine before it jumps. Otherwise they get left behind and there's no way to come back for them. And like, this is not a huge spoiler, but eventually, further down the line, what happens is it's one of those things where, like, he thinks he's the only one that's discovered this, but that's not true. There are other dimensions where other versions of him or other people or whatever have also discovered this technology. Well, this guy that runs his corporation winds up trying to take the technology and use it to just expand his business and make himself the most powerful. I mean, it's a Donald Trump-like figure. He's now the most powerful person in the multiverse. And, like, what if that's what's going on here? It's not enough that they're the biggest corporation in the world. They have to be the biggest corporation on every world. We're running out of resources. Well, let's find a way to punch a hole through reality and take what we want from somewhere else.
I think that is one of the things that Fringe, as much as y'all encouraged me to watch it, I did like it a lot. But, you know, maybe would have loved it more at the time. But what you're saying right now is exactly what a lot of what happened in Fringe is. It became more about how much can I control, and it doesn't matter about this or this or this, and kind of like what we're going to wind up doing is destroying ourselves because of that reason right there. how much can I control?
So yeah, it got me thinking about that. Like, what if that's what's going on, you know? The other thing is, Elliot's vision. Well, let's see, what else did I tweet here? Leon/Joey Badass is my spirit animal. That's when they're sitting in the coffee shop and he's talking about chess and all that. I was like, man, this guy's so good. And then we see Elliot's vision. We see characters that we haven't seen since season one. We see the guy he set up at the E-Corp building? Or the hospital or something like that. It was that heavy set dude. He hugs him on the porch.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he did in season, but he was in season one. Maybe he was in the hospital. I don't know. We see Taka hashtag. That was cool.
I think that's the last time we see him.
It might be. Sure. I don't know. All of a sudden I got freaking started sneezing. So.
Oh, welcome. Yeah, welcome to the party. That happened to me yesterday at about 8 o'clock.
It is March, so.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, it's, spring will be here. It's the south, so things will start blooming. And
it was about 70 yesterday here. And, yeah, I went outside. I came back in, sat here, and sneezed for like 30 minutes
straight. Yeah, you went outside. That's why I went to the grocery store, so. There you go. I went outside. There's these freaking bushes right outside my apartment. So, the chess game, the last thing I wanted to talk about, the chess game between Elliot and Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty great. That was almost like Shakespearean.
Yeah, I completely agree. It reminded me a lot of Magneto and Professor X. But there's one thing I've never noticed, and I haven't seen this episode since season 2 aired, but I'm sure I watched it 2 or 3 times before we talked about it, and I never noticed it. He's not wearing the Mr. Robot patch on his hat. It's not there.
I didn't notice it this time. Damn.
Yeah, if you watch the chess game, like if you're playing it, fast forward to that scene. The patch is not on his hat.
You don't have the time, do you?
Let's see, 51 minutes. If any of that sneezing or whatever comes through on the mic, I apologize to anybody listening. It's very all of a sudden. Why doesn't he have the patch? It's bizarre.
Hold on. Almost there. All right, here we go. How many minutes?
I've just played it at the 51-minute mark.
At 51 minutes, mine's over.
Oh. What episode are you watching?
Oh, freaking episode. Jeez.
I was about to say, this episode's like 1 hour and 5 minutes long.
It's my stinking...
You're on episode whatever the next episode
is. Next episode, yeah.
I love this chess set. I mean, it looks like not an expensive chess set. It's just something about it I like. I like how Elliot thought he could beat himself at chess. I mean... It's just ridiculous.
Sorry, I'm watching the... He didn't have it on... The patch wasn't on his hat earlier in the episode.
Well, I didn't notice it until...
Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. That was the last episode. In the next episode, keep looking for that. The patch isn't on his hat.
Now, I'd have to go back to the earlier stuff in the episodes. I didn't notice it till the chess game. So.
So do you think, because when Darlene does show up at his apartment early on.
Yeah, but that's a flashback.
I know, but he does have the jacket with the little patch.
But that wouldn't have anything to do with him not having the patch in present day.
But Mr. Robot is imaginary.
Right.
So...
like, so...
are you going to rely on what Elliot's seeing?
Well, I mean, he's imaginary, so we have to rely on what Elliot's seeing. The question is, why would you envision him without the patch on his hat? So the only other time in the episode...
no longer Mr. Robot. Now Elliot is Mr. Robot.
So the only other time we see the hat is when he's in Elliot's room challenging him to a chess game. But it's a pretty dark room. It's hard to tell if the patch is on the hat.
Yeah, I definitely want to go back and see when the patch disappears.
So you do see him in other points in time in the episode, but he's not wearing the hat at those times that I remember. I mean, I'd have to like go back through the whole
That'll be good episode. To go back and rewatch. I have the time, so I'll do it. I think so, that'd be pretty interesting.
But yeah, the chess game, no patch on the hat. So, but anyway, that was the last thing I wanted to bring up, and it's probably a good place to end it since I'm freaking dying over here all of a sudden.
Yeah, I took a Benadryl.
I'm gonna have to take one. Anyway, we'll be back in a few days with the next episode of our rewatch, as we are almost halfway through the season. So we need to get some guests on this rewatch. So far, we haven't had any. So I need to reach out to Adam and see what he's up to.
Tell him. This is a than I remember. I mean, pretty important. Great, dude.
It made me want to bust out my app and start playing chess online, since I don't know anybody in real life that can play chess, so, or at least that can play chess well enough that after I beat them, they wouldn't be like, well, I'm done playing this. So,
no, I mean, I know how to play, but you beat me like 6 times in a row, and, you know, it's pointless for me to play.
No, that's how you get better, man. Anyway, tweet us at Mr. Robot Podcast. Email us MrRobotPodcast@gmail.com. Go check out the X-Wing Files.com for all the other shows we do, including the X-Wing Files and our new show, Ryan and Spencer. Ryan and Logan make Spencer watch movies, which we just did Willow. It was a lot of fun. If you like Willow, go check that out. Go write and review us on iTunes, and we'll see you guys in a few days.
Ryan and Spencer, or Logan and Spencer make Ryan watch movies would be like the worst podcast ever. Here's a little wager for the never believer. Yeah. Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling.